All right, so we are going to be in the book of Romans. I want to encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 1 if you're not there already. And again, stand with me if you're able to. I'm going to start recording here if I'm able to. Welcome again for you guys online. Glad you can join us online here. All right, so I'm going to start recording here. And I'm going to prep you guys as we begin, before we start. Be prepared to pray for and to be prayed for, okay? To encourage and to be encouraged. I want to tell you that as we start up here. So maybe you got a prayer request, we could pray for you. And we certainly want to be ones to pray for one another.
Recording in progress.
All right, so we're going to start up from Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 11. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 11. It says here, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise." Verse 15, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." So please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you again for your holy word. As you say in your word in Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Oh, Lord, we praise you for your holy word. We thank you that the principles contained in your word still apply today. You tell us in your word that the Bible, it's the word of God. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's also called the sword of the Spirit. And Lord, we ask that you would give us your correction and direction in life as we read and part your scriptures. Help us to understand this better today, Lord. But we know this isn't just a head knowledge type of exercise. Father, we ask that you would encourage our hearts, that you would empower us and equip us by your Spirit. Give us spiritual gifts even, Lord, the empowerment that you desire us to have, that we can not only be those that receive encouragement, but Lord, that we can also pour out to others, that we can be conduits of your grace, to be encouragers to one another, that we would be a congregation that would be encouraging, and that we'd be established in your ways. So please empower us, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Please have a seat if you would. All right, so as we open up here, I am calling this today established and encouraging, established and encouraging. And as we open up, we see Paul here telling those in Rome, look at this in verse 11 as we opened up here in his intro. He says, "I long to see you," in verse 11. I long to see you. I long to see you. Think of how you might long to see someone today. You might write a letter like Paul did. Probably gets to them right away. Maybe you send a text. Usually we do that today, or an email, or a phone call, or a video phone call. But Paul longed to see those Christians in Rome. He heard of them, but he had not yet visited. So he says, "I long to see you." And look at verse 13. He also says, "I often planned to come to you." I often planned to come to you. But he says, "But I was hindered until now." So he had other ministry opportunities that were opened up for him. And he would just go with the flow of what the Spirit of God seemed to be opening up. He would walk through those open doors. But Paul says here that he longed to see these Christians in Rome. Notice why, at the end of verse 11, it says, "so that you may be established." So that you may be established. So we looked at that word established previously. We looked at it lightly last time, so this time, God willing, we'll give it a little deeper dig. We'll dig a little deeper into it today. But Paul wanted to encourage them, and not only to encourage them, he wanted to receive encouragement back. So think about what Paul knew, even as he would, as apostles, they were church planters. They would go from place to place. They would preach the gospel. Some would receive and repent, receive the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. They turn away from their sins. They turn to following Christ, and they have this new family now, like we do. They have this new faith. And for the Gentiles, since Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, they had to learn everything from scratch, from new. Just like how it is for, I don't know about you guys, but I know myself, how I pretty much had to learn everything from scratch. And even learn things all over. I realized I gained a lot of baggage, learned a lot of bad teaching from my childhood and other places. Then when it came to just reading through the entire Bible, he started cleaning and clearing things up. Praise God for that. Is that any of you? He does that. And so we come to this new family where the Father, through Jesus Christ, adopts us into, and we have to learn something new. But Paul realized that as individual Christians, individual people got saved, they became born again, and they would start to congregate in geographical areas, he and the other apostles knew, hey, I may have to go visit, teach about this gifting of the Holy Spirit, how God would empower you, physically lay hands on them, so it wasn't a Zoom call even. It's great that you guys are in Zoom though. But he had to lay hands on them, and he would impart to them some spiritual gifts. This is what he's talking about here. And so he actually experientially saw and was taught by the Lord that when he would go into an area that's predominantly Gentiles, they never heard of the God of the Bible. They didn't even have Torah. They didn't have the Hebrew scriptures. He would preach salvation through Jesus Messiah, according to the scriptures. They would get to know this God. Everything was brand spanking new. But when he would go into an area that there were already Christians, he realized that they did not yet have empowerment, though. This happened. We saw as we taught through the book of Acts, there are places and times where they did not receive this empowerment through the Holy Spirit. So he knew that when he would go to an area, lay hands on people, teach them about the gifting of the Spirit and his empowerment, that they would receive empowerment, and not only would Paul pour into them, but like a living, active body, this local church would start to become more healthy. Make sense? So they wouldn't be just recipients. They would also, just like you and I, we receive from God, but we're respondents too. Amen? He's the initiator. We respond. You don't make things up. He's the initiator. You respond to him. So they wouldn't just be recipients of the blessings of the grace of God. They would also respond back to him. And they'd also reflect out his grace to others. So Paul would be there, preach the gospel, people would be saved. And if he went to an area where people were already saved, they needed to learn about the gifting of the Spirit and his empowerment. And then not only would he pour into them, he realized after being there for some time and teaching them and being an example, they would also reciprocate back to God as well as to him, and he would be encouraged together with them. Does that make sense? So this is basically what he's writing about here. He knew that he had to go. Now, he had not yet visited Rome. He wanted to, as he says, by any means. Look at this, like in verse 10. If by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Little did he know the means that God would use to get him there. Today, you might book a flight. Today, you might go on a cruise ship. But Paul, poor Paul, he prayed, oh, by any means, Lord. And God's like, okay. God, how am I going to get there? He didn't know he would go as a prisoner of Rome, that the ship that he would get on would sink or would be stuck. And then everybody have to flee the ship, go to this island, and now be stuck on an island. he's gathering wood, helping out with the fire with the locals, and all of a sudden something jumps out of the sticks and bites him on the hand. What is that? A snake, a viper, a poisonous viper that's probably indigenous to that island. It's like, I pray if by any means the Lord would take me there. How about this path? And then through the power of the Lord, through Paul's life, people get saved out on that island. People are getting healed. And then eventually he ends up in Rome. But that wouldn't be for a while. So while he's writing this, I love this, verse 10, making a request, if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Well, Paul, it looks like the will of God wasn't for him to book a flight or just get on his own cruise ship, but that he'd be shipwrecked and it would end up there as a prisoner of Rome, but a prisoner of Christ, as he writes. So he wanted to encourage them, and he wanted to receive this encouragement back. And you and I need to know, as we get into this, that the only way that this is possible is through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God himself must equip and empower you and I. And this is something that's a dynamic that Paul saw, not just as he eventually got to Rome. He saw this in other churches and other places, and this is something that's a principle for you and I. It's also my heart here that you would be ones wherever you're ministering, maybe here, maybe elsewhere. You pour into people and you also want them to reciprocate back. This is actually what God wants for you and I. So Paul started to see sort of a pattern as he would minister to people, as he would preach the gospel. People would hear the gospel. Some would receive the gospel. They'd respond. They'd repent from their sins. Paul would pray for them to receive spiritual gifts. And once he saw that the Christians in a congregation matured past only receiving God's grace, but they moved on to maturity by learning to reflect God's grace out to other Christians. So not just receiving, but also you could say reflecting God's grace out. Being a conduit, not just a receptacle. Okay, more like the faucet than the bucket. That makes sense. Yes, you must receive from God, but also be a conduit of his grace, his love, his mercy. Amen? You and I must. So Paul knew that the congregation was maturing when it got to that place. Thus the reason why he says here in this letter in chapter 1 that he wanted them to be, as he uses the word, established. So, by the way, if you're taking notes, back in Acts chapter 19, we learn that Paul, quote, came to Ephesus, it says in verse 1, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So this is the pattern, so to speak, that Paul saw. People would receive the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet perhaps they weren't empowered by his Spirit. That's why he's asking them in Acts 19, when he came to the city of Ephesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So he understood that they had to receive the Holy Spirit. They would be empowered. And he's talking to born-again Christians. And this is a challenging thing today. This is actually controversial, isn't it? You know, it's a two-part blessing. Like, whatever you call it, here's the reality. Are you empowered? Have you been empowered by God himself? You and I must be empowered by God himself. And along with that empowerment comes a gifting, spiritual gifts, as we call it. In this book that we call Romans, it's one of the only books in the Bible that has chapters that Paul himself wrote that actually define and list what some of the spiritual gifts are. What chapter is that? Some of you guys know. Romans chapter 12. So we learn some of the gifts of the Spirit. The only other main one is 1 Corinthians 12. And then obviously in also Ephesians 4, which we'll look at in a bit, God willing, as well as 1 Peter 4. So What I'm being convicted of for you and I today, as we get into this and go further, even, I'm going to splash this out. We have this actually, we put this on the glass window right out front, that we want this for everybody, including you, of course, that everybody needs to get saved. You hear the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, right? You get saved by receiving and repenting. Receiving that good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins. And now what? Now you need to learn God's word. So you first need to get saved. Try to learn God's word, you're not saved, everything goes over your head. Anybody experience that? Okay? That's common. Why? Because you must first get saved. The natural man, the natural person cannot understand or discern the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. Paraphrasing that. But that's a principle in God's word. And then you learn God's word. Why? Like Peter wrote, as newborn babes, we got some babies here around the building, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The only way that you and I can spiritually grow and mature is by what? By reading through, by being taught through the entire Bible. You and I must have this. So you need to learn God's word and continue to learn God's word. Then get baptized if you haven't been baptized after salvation. And then learn to serve God. What happens when you serve God publicly? Every Christian has a calling within the body of Christ. What will happen? Well, what we want for you to look at and to envision moving forward is that you would discover your spiritual gifts and what God has called you to be. Ephesians 2 verse 10 mentions that you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's why you exist right now. Maybe you think it's to be a mom or dad, or to be a husband or a wife. Those are great, but that's not the greater thing. You have a calling, a purpose, a reason why you're in existence right now. Yes, if you're married, your main ministry is to your spouse. Husband to a wife, wife to a husband. Your kids, if you have children. But you have a calling. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, before planet Earth was created. It's Ephesians 2 verse 10. It's God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So as we go through this just really burns in my heart. And I'm going to share this next screen here. As we looked at this word for established, again in Romans 1 verse 11. So Paul writes, "For I long to see you," as you see here on the display, "that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established." Again, that word established, sterizo, is a word in the original Greek language. To make stable, to place firmly. I love this. Look at this. To strengthen. And you need to know, the voice of this Greek verb for established is what's called passive. What does that mean? That means you don't do the work, the activity. The action is done by God. You are the recipient. You don't work to get yourself established. Oh, I got to do more, give more, go further than before. That's called the flesh. And you're going to burn yourself out. I think most of us have either been there or maybe you've seen others. I've been there. You don't work to get yourself established. God himself empowers you to be established. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Why? So that you may be established. By who? By God. You're the passive recipient. So what do? You apply your faith by ministering your spiritual gifts within the church. So Paul knew, as he saw in various churches that he had been with, that the Christians were established not just by receiving grace from God, but they had to mature onto being able to, if we could say so, reflect God's grace out to others. This is a principle that's found in the Bible in various places. You'll find it in 1 John chapter 4, where step 1, you receive God's love. Step 2, we love God because he loved us first. So the person that wants to love God, that you see them loving God, is pure, it's holy, it emanates from within. It's one way that you can detect and tell, according to 1 John 4, that they are a born-again Christian. The love of God's manifest in them, 1 John 4 teaches us. However, the love of God has not been perfected among us, or even through that person, until they do what? Love one another. So that's one of his points in 1 John chapter 4, one of the greatest chapters about love. You can receive God's love It's manifested in you when you're born again. So what? Because the greatest, one of the greatest new commandments, or I should say commandments in the new covenant, John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you what? Love one another. Sometimes we Christians might think that I receive love from others. Right? So that we love one another. It's a commandment by Christ. Very detailed there. So John took that. He was there in the room when he heard that in John 13. And he also wrote about that in 1 John chapter 4. We love him because he loved us first. So the love of God's been manifested in you. I'm paraphrasing it. You could read it later in 1 John 4. The love of God's manifested in you when you become born again. However, the love of God is not perfected through you or among us in the congregation, in the church, unless and until you do what? Love one another. Okay? It's as if he might say this when you read and study 1 John 4 in depth and detail. You're born again. You got the love of God in you. God is agape. The agape love. Big deal. What do you need to do? That's why Christ has to command you. By the way, if you realize in the New Testament, the commands are there. Why? Because we don't want to do them in the flesh, right? It's not endemic in the old nature, which is in Adam, living empowered by self and self-will and according to the flesh or your pride, but empowered by the Lord in the New Testament, he commands us to do these things. Why? Because you're not going to want to, right? If he says, love one another, if you feel like it, are you ever going to have that kind of agape love, selfless love? We might do that for our children, maybe for a spouse, but big deal. You're a recipient of that. How about like Christ did, loving someone that puts nails into you? Now that takes the love of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? How about someone that backbites, slanders you like they did with Jesus? Maybe wants to not shove a crown of thorns on your head, but something else. Maybe not pull out your beard like they did with Jesus, but pull out something else. And yet Christ is on the cross, and what do you say to the Father? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? I want to have that kind of love from the Lord. I need that. That comes from him, only empowered and equipped and enabled through him. I'm not there yet. I would hope to think I'm on the path. I know I'm on the path, but I know I'm not there yet. You know how you can tell? If you drive a car, someone cuts in front of you. See, some of you guys are cracking up because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, I don't drive. I'm scot-free there. Okay, you get on the subway. And the doors close, and you didn't make it because someone pushed you out as they got in. And you're late for work, right? God bless you. So the love of God is manifested in you and I when we're born again. The love of God has not been perfected among us, as it says in 1 John 4, or in and through you, unless and until you love one another. So big deal that we can receive God's spiritual gifting or spiritual empowerment. Paul knew that he wanted to be there to be an example. Paul knew that he wanted to be there to physically lay hands on people and pray for them and to teach them through God's word. So he could do, even as he said in the book of Acts, as he spoke to the elders at Ephesus, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. It wasn't just topical teaching here and there. He declared to them all of God's available word at that time. That's what we need today. Amen. And not just teaching the word, but like James wrote, being a doer of the word too. Not a hearer only, deceiving ourselves. So you and I need to apply our faith. Here's what Peter wrote. I'm going to have to quickly go through some of this. Pray for me. The teacher in me wants to just quickly go through chapter 1, get into chapter 2, chapter 3. Ooh, some good neat meat and nuggets there. But the shepherd in me, the shepherd's heart that God gave me, under the good shepherd, is really convicting my heart. Please pray for me. That we would read something like this, and even as Paul's saying to the Christians in Rome, that you would be established, that we as a congregation would be established. We prayed for one another even last week, and we pray for one another all the time here. We're going to discuss spiritual gifts and God's empowering over and over again. but we want to be able to be doers of the word. Here's what Peter wrote. If you're checking this out, you can read this on the slide or turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read it starting from verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And look at this, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And check this out. If anyone ministers, you want to serve God, if anyone ministers, if anyone serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Why is God commanding you to use that which he supplies you with to serve him? Look what it says, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 11. So breaking it down, each born-again Christian is expected to glorify God in this way. God expects this of you. This is why, again, there's commands here in the New Testament. First, receiving spiritual gifts. So I love how Peter gives this proactively. Hey, look, verse 10, each one's received. You've already received the gift. We prayed for many of you. Some we prayed over and over and over and over. And we keep praying for you over and over. My point right here, as Peter writes here, or even as we're looking at from Paul in Romans chapter 1, that you would do the next step, that you would actually take a bold step of faith by not just being a recipient, by not just being prayed for, but that you would also pray for others, that you would also fulfill Christ's command to you to love one another, that you would also fulfill the commands that you see over and over throughout Paul's writings, Peter's writings, John's writings, that you would love one another, that you would encourage each other. And Christians, ladies and gentlemen, church, I want us to be able to do that here today. That's why I opened up by saying, you know, prepare yourself, if you would, that you would not only receive encouragement and be prayed for. My guess is there's a bunch of people that want prayer. But my guess is also some of you are ready to take a step of faith to actually pray for others. Well, I don't want to speak out loud. Then can you gather around someone else that wants to be prayed for? Lay hands on that person and pray for them, even if you're not speaking out loud. I think even the quiet, shy Christian can do that. I know that because that was me. So you need to receive spiritual gifts and, quote, minister it to one another. Also be good stewards of God's grace. The steward is not the owner. The steward is, let's say, like a manager, like Joseph in Egypt. He didn't own the house. He was a steward in or over the house. And minister, quote, with the ability which God supplies. That's the spiritual empowerment. That's the spiritual gift, so to speak. Why? I love how Peter writes this. Peter's very practical here. Quote, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You see, in other places, Paul writes about the church being like a body. In fact, every time that Paul is teaching about individual specific spiritual gifts, he's also simultaneously teaching about the bigger point or principle. What is that? The body. You'll find that in Ephesians 4. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 12. You'll find that in Romans 12. The three main chapters that Paul wrote about, speaking about individual specific gifts, but also teaching about the bigger thing. What is that? The unity in the body of Christ. It's a body. So your own body takes care of itself. Proof is, well, let's show of hands. Anybody here ever been sick with anything in your life before? You've gotten over colds. I've gotten over COVID like a couple times. Some of you guys have probably been like that a bunch of times too. You get something within your body, a cold, flu, whatever it is, even COVID now, these past years, we learned this new vocabulary. And your body, remarkably as God created it, it didn't evolve this way. Your body heals itself from within. That's how you know your body's healthy. So Paul's using this, really empowered by God himself, this illustration of the body, as he's teaching about individual specific spiritual gifts. The greater picture in teaching is really the body, unity in the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, even this small subset of the overall entire church, this local church, we want to be healthy. And so, just like Paul is writing to the church at Rome, he wanted to go there in person to be an example, to teach them, to lay hands on them. They received spiritual gifting. They would be encouraged, but he knew as he stayed there to help them to mature, to not just be a recipient, but they would also be a respondent to God, and also, we could say, reflect God's grace, not just receive God's grace. Paul would also receive from them, that he could also encourage and be encouraged. Mutual encouragement. You know what we call that also in the New Testament? The Greek word is koinonia. It's translated into English also as fellowship. That's true Christian fellowship. That we can be there one with another. Spiritual things are exchanged. God is glorified. That's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The early church, they would gather together. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's Bible teaching. Also, fellowship, prayer, communion, as we call it. And what would happen? The Lord would add to the church daily those who are going to be saved. But there was a mutual encouragement one to another. I love encouraging people. I love teaching people. These are things that God has actually spiritually gifted me with. That's why I love it. If it's just me, just speaking about anything through the power of my strength, I wouldn't want to do it. It actually would freak me out just to think of doing these things if I'm doing my own strength. But I love the fact that God would empower and equip. You know, I love more than teaching others when I could also see those people respond. When I could see those people not just be a recipient, but I could see them apply and grow and mature. And I have a joy within my heart when I see that. Not just because I'm one that gets to teach here, but because I get to see God's child grow and mature. Every parent loves that, don't you, about your kid? When you can see them grow. Your child gets to be about 11 months of age. They start walking with those wobbly knees. Remember like the Frankenstein walk, right? They'll start to stand and walk. Who here is a parent, by the way? Got a bunch of you parents in the room. You remember those times when you see them? They get teeth. You remember that real freaky teeth grinding time? Right? They get their teeth, they don't know what to do with. You put your fingers close to their mouth, and what do? They bite, and they bite pretty hard, right, for a little baby. They can do that. But you start to see they'll start to mature even in their development, even what they will take in. They can start to eat more and more solid food. And it's a joy, it's a wonder. I'm still in amazement how we can see that in our own children. Imagine what the Heavenly Father sees with you and I. And we take in His Word, when we chew upon His Word, meditate on His Word. That's Psalm chapter 1, day and night. That we would grow, that we would become spiritually fruitful in our season He's appointed for us. That's Psalm chapter 1. Imagine His joy that He gets as your Heavenly Father when He sees you consume His Word and apply His Word. Receive His love and love Him back, even with the love that He gives you. Isn't that wild to think? He's going to equip you with His agape love so that you could love Him back. Isn't that wild to think? He gives you that which you don't have so that you could even love Him back. And He expects you, as He says, love one another. Take that same love I gave you and give out my love through you to others. Be a conduit. And that's the way it occurs also with His mercy. You receive His mercy, He expects you to have what with others? Mercy. You receive His love, He expects you to have what with others? Love. You receive His encouragement, and He expects you to do what with others? Encourage one another. All right, so we're going to close here in just a bit. And I want us to take the time to pray. One more slide here. Ephesians 4 is another passage. And I want us to pray for one another. And then we can, God willing, obey his commands to love one another, encourage each other, even as Paul wanted to do there in Rome. We could do that with each other. Ephesians 4, verse 7, as it has here on the screen. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. By the way, why would he give some to be, even as Paul? Okay, there are no apostles like these 12 in the Bible, like Paul to be an apostle, or prophets, or evangelists, or even pastors and teachers today. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we got the kids in here now. God wants you and I to grow, to mature as a loving Heavenly Father. And as we grow, notice this in verse 15, we grow up into what? Into who? Into Christ. Christ is the head of the church. I'm not the head of the church. I'm just an under-shepherd under Jesus, the good shepherd. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Notice that. It says, every part does its share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So some might say, yes, being equipped, but also edifying. Get equipped. Edify. Building up each other in love. And as Paul writes about in Romans chapter 1, I can't get past this. Please pray for me. Pray too, because I want to, as a teacher, I want to just run right quick through this. I'm like, oh, come on, let's go a chapter a week. I like that pace. But oftentimes the Lord isn't letting me to. That's what I believe. That we would be even as Paul writes here. He wanted to be with them, that they wouldn't only receive encouragement, but they would also reciprocate back. That it would be a healthy body. That we wouldn't go to church, but we would be the church. Amen? A healthy body. A healthy gathering of Christians gathered here locally. So I'm going to close in a word of prayer. But as I open up, I want you to consider not just being prayed for, but some people here want to pray for others. Not just being a recipient of encouragement, but that God would use you now. Don't wait till after you leave. God would use you now to encourage each other now. So I'm going to pray, and if anybody wants prayer, I'm going to ask for you to simply stand where you are. And again, we're going to be the body of Christ and learn to get and be healthy. It's a healthy body that we could pray for each other. But I bet there's someone here that needs prayer. And if that's you, you can stand where you are. And if you're not able to stand, you can simply lift your hand. And then we're going to ask others to gather around you that they could also exercise their spiritual giftedness. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, that the heart of someone like Paul, oh, Lord, his passion to not just preach the gospel, but also to encourage others, that they would be established, that they could stand firm in the ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they wouldn't be just recipients of your grace, Lord, but they can reflect your grace out to others. Help us to do that here and now. Help the body of Christ to do this, Lord, that we wouldn't be just hearers only, deceiving ourselves, but that we could be doers of your word. So help us to love one another. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to pray for one another. We believe that you would be glorified, Lord. But we know that we want to use the spiritual gifts that each has been given, like we read in 1 Peter 4. Help us to do that, Lord. Empower us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.